Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Pei Vav. We're holding Pei Hei Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the Amud, where the line begins, HaChalonos V'Oyvei HaChoyma. This is a direct quote from the end of the Mishnah. The Mishnah is a little bit higher up on Pei Hei Amud Beis. You'll see the final line of the Mishnah was, HaChalonos V'Oyvei HaChoyma Kilifnim. What is this referring to? So Rashi already explained yesterday that we're referring to the choyma of the city of Yerushalayim, as well as the width of the choyma, as well as the chaloinos, the windows inside the choyma. What's the status of all of those? That they have the din of Yerushalayim itself. So if you wanted, if a person wanted to go and eat one of the kabanos of Kochim Kalim, which you could eat throughout Yerushalayim, and he put his meal there in the window. Now we think of windows and windowsills as being relatively thin. That's because and narrow because of that's today's construction. But those of you that see the walls of Yerushalayim or of other walls of yesteryear, many of them are very, very thick. You could have a wall that is, you know, 5 feet wide. So in the opening of the window, in that hollow, there could be plenty of room to sit and to eat, etc. The same thing applies on top of the wall of Yerushalayim. Also, it has the din of Kedushas Yerushalayim, and you'd be able to go and eat your Karban Pesach there, etc. So says Imar Omarav. Three lines from the bottom. The Amid Gagin Valios Loines Kachu. The Gagin meaning the roofs, Valios and the attics or the second floors. Loines Kachu did not have a din of Kedusha. Now Rashi says that this is referring to both Yerushalayim and the Azara. If you look at Rashi, three lines, three Rashis before the end, 5-6 lines from the bottom. Gang Valios Loines Kachu. Ben Gage Yerushalayim, Bekdushis Yerushalayim, the Kochim Kalim. Meaning that if a person wants to go and eat in Yerushalayim his korbanos, make sure to go and eat it on the first floor. Don't go to the second floor to eat it, and certainly don't go up to the roof to eat it, because the Kedusha Yerushalayim is on the bottom floor. Same thing applies to the Kedusha Azara. In certain places in the Azara, they had lishachos. Lishachos are these chambers or offices, and on top of them they had ceilings or roofs. Don't go and eat on top of the roof. You have to go and eat on level floor of the Azara if you're eating Kodesh Kodesh. So this, of course, seems to be directly against what we said in the Mishnah. Because we said in the Mishnah that the tops of the walls in Yerushalayim had Kedusha. And here we're saying you have to go and eat down below on the first level, because the second floor, and certainly the roof, all have the din of Loines Kachu. So Gemara is going to, in fact, ask from our Mishnah at the tail end of the Sugya. First, Gemara is going to ask from numerous other, either Amiroim or Tanoim from Brises, on what Rav just said. So again, according to Rav, the Gag and the Aliyah in Yerushalayim, as well as in the Azara, Loi Niskachu, Frank Timon, Eini V'Omer Rav. Rav himself said, Mishum Rebchia, Kizeis Epischa, if you ate the people that ate a Kizeis with the Karban Pesach, the Halila, and then they said Hallel on Pesach night, like we say Hallel as part of the Haggadah, Poka Igra, it was so ear-shattering and so earth-shaking, it would cause the roofs to go and split. Of course, the language of the Gemara is a little bit exaggerated, but it's not that much different than our own English language when we say earth-shaking news. Did the earth really shake? Ear-shattering news. Did the ear really shatter? You have a skyscraper. Did the building really go and scrape the sky? But these are just expressions. So here too, the expression is Halila Paka Igra, that as a result of the Halel, the Igra, the roof, split. And why does the Gemara bring this together with Kizeis Epischa? So Rashi says, because often when you had chaburos that brought together one Karban Pesach, you didn't have just 10 or 20. You might have had 50 or 75 or more, where each one would only get a little kizayis, a small little kizayis of the Karban Pesach. But they were many, many people in that chabura. And when it came to the Hallel, they all went and really lifted themselves and lifted their lungs and really poured out their hearts and praised the Kodesh Baruch Hu, so that you could hear the Hallel, you know, not just down the street. The other from Yerushalayim, you could hear it from Yechvais Meir Sha'arim all the way to Ramot. That's how the noise was so intense. Of course, both Meir Sha'arim and Ramot are outside Eretz Tikva, but you get the sense. Anyway, so the point of all of this is, since the Rav, in the name of Rav Chiya, uses the expression Paka Igra, the assumption is that they said Hallel and they ate the Korban Pesach on the rooftops, and from there you heard this tremendous, beautiful noise, not noise, but a beautiful chorus of the Hallel. Says Yimor at the top of Pei Vovam, but Aleph, my love, the Achli B'Igra, the Amri B'Igra. It sounds like that they ate the Korban Pesach on the roof and they started singing and saying the Hallel on the roof. But you just told me that the Gagos Loi Niskadshu, you're not allowed to eat the Korban Pesach on the roof. You got to eat it down below on the first floor. They first ate the Korban Pesach downstairs. And then when it came time for Hallel, then they went upstairs and went up to the roof, and there they started going and singing and praising Hashem. But now we learned in the Mishnah. Now I know why, the way we normally think of these words, that the last thing that you eat on Seder night is the Afikoyman. However, in fact, the Gemara darshans these words, or explains these words, somewhat differently. If you look at the top Rashi on the top line, Ein Maftirin, in the middle of the line, Kishi Giyaz Manil Hipotim Asuda. You're finally finished with the meal, meaning the eating part of the meal. What is that eating part of the meal? You finished eating the Korban Pesach. Today we would be eating the Afikoman, Shekein Chovis Kol HaKabons, Karmelon, etc., etc. So after that, Ein Maftirin. What means Ein Maftirin? Next Rashi. The Omer Rav, Afikoman Loshen Hoitziu Kleichem Mikan, Benelech Venoichel Oid Bechabura Acheres. You don't, Ein Maftirin, you cannot go and eat anywhere else because the Afikoman is the last thing, meaning the Korban Pesach is the last thing that you can go and eat. You cannot eat anything more. So the Ein Maftirin Acher Pesach Afikoman means don't go elsewhere. And after you finished eating, and decide, Afikoyman, let's go and take our kalim. In other words, let's put on the jacket or the coat, or take with you your fork and knife or wherever, and go to another chabur and continue eating, because you finished the Korban Pesach. That's it, boys. The Yomer Rav Shli Okru Me Chabura L'Chabura. Don't leave one chabura and go to the other chabura. Okay, so the question is, if you're now let it go and move from where you were, where you ate the Korban Pesach, how did you go to the Igra? How did you go to the roof to go and say Hallel? Don't you have to stay in your Chaburas Dalet Amos where you were the entire time and not move from there? So if you want to know, come on, Loi Kasha, Kan B'Shas Achila, Kan B'Shas, Kan Shaloi B'Shas Achila. If you're still eating, stay there in your Chabura, stay within where you were eating. Don't move. And that's what Rav said, Ein Maftirin Acher Pesach Afikoyman, you finished eating your Korban Pesach, don't move to another location to eat anything more. That's it. No more eating tonight. However, Shloim B'Shas Achila, if you're not eating, but you're singing Hal to Hashem, then of course you can go to the roof. You can go wherever you want, and you can go and sing out and pour out your lungs and your heart and praise Hashem for all the wonderful things He has done for us. Toshima, Abishol Oimer, Aliyas Beis Kodshei HaKadoshim, Chamura Mi Beis Kodshei HaKadoshim. Abishol tells us the Aliyah means the floor above the Kodshei Kodshim, had even more Kedusha than the Kodshei Kodshim itself. In which respect? Shebeis Kodshei HaKadoshim, Kohen Gadol Nichnas Lo Pam Achas B'Shana. As we know, on Yom Kippur, the Kohen Gadol goes Lefnai V'Lefnim. He brings the Ketoiris, he's marked to the Ketoiris inside the Kodesh Kedoshim, but he only does this once a year. However, Aliyas Beis Kodesh Kedoshim, that's the floor on top, Ein Nechnasin Lo, nobody enters into that upper chamber above the Kodesh Kedoshim, El Pam Achas B'Shavua, except for one time in 7 years, the Amrila Pamayim B'Shavua, some say twice in 7 years, the Amrila Pam Achas B'Yovel, once in 50 years. Now, why would anybody go there in the first place? Leida mahi tzricha. What means mahi tzricha? Rashi says to see if it needs some sort of tikkun. In other words, for repair and maintenance. After all, you got to check on your properties, make sure that your walls are strong, that chas v'sholem, there's no instability somewhere and nothing needs repairs, etc. Oh, so you see that the kedusha of the aliyah above the kachi kedusha was even greater because people only entered there once in 50 years or once in 7 years, etc., to go and check it out. But didn't we just say a moment ago, said Rav, the aliyos lo niskachu, the second floors didn't have kedusha at all. So you'd be able to go in not once in 50 years. You'd be able to go in 20 times in one day. Evdi ma'am Rav Yosef, mehechol nekam and nesif inish. You're asking Akasha from the heichol. If you remember Rashi on the Amud Beis when he was talking about the gang baliyos, Rashi said we're talking about the gagi Yerushalayim and the gagi lishkois who azora. We didn't speak about the heichol. Heichol is different. Why is heichol different? So says the Gemara, mehechol nekam and nekam inish nesif inish. Does a person want to get up and ask kashas from the aliyos and the heichol? The Kachi Kedushim is considered to be an extension of the Kodesh of the Heichel. Shani Heichel, Heichel is different. The Chassidus says in the Pasuk, V'yitin David l'shlomim b'no yes tavzes ulam v'yes batov v'yes ganzachov v'yes v'aliyosov v'chadorov ha'pnimim u'beisak ha'poyres, that David HaMelech gave to Shlomo HaMelech tavnes, the blueprints of the ulam and the aliyos and the chadorim and the beis hakapoyis, meaning everything from the ulam until the back of the kachi kedushim. The kachi kedushim is called beis hakapoyis because, as we have in the beginning of this week's seder in Parshas Truma, that you had the main focus, the only keli that you had within the kachi kedushim was the oroin, and on the oroin you had the kapoyis where you had the kruvim. So therefore, sometimes the Torah refers to the Kachi Kudushim as the Beis HaKapayit. Anyway, Uksid, and it says about that, HaKol B'Chsav Miyad Hashem Olai Hiskil. Everything was Miyad Hashem. In other words, this blueprint wasn't put together by David HaMelech, it was put together Miyad Hashem from a Kodesh Baruch Hu Kavi Yochel himself. Aha. So, what do I see from this? That the Aliyos over the Ulam and Heichel and Kachi Kudushim, these were special, very special. They had Kedushim. However, the aliyas on top of the Azara did not have kedusha. Toshima. Al shochas abenu yesh ba kodesh v'suchos lachoil. Toichin choil v'gagoy sehem kodesh. We have a lishka. Lishka is, there were numerous lishochos in the Beis HaMikdash. A lishka is defined as a chamber or as an office. It was a fairly large room, and each room had a special dedicated purpose. So you had the Lishkas HaGozis, and you had the Lishkas HaEitzim, and the Lishkas HaTloyim. Every Lishka had a particular purpose. So now, the question is, those Lishkas, if you were inside the Lishka, is that considered to be Kodesh, part of the Azara, or part of the Ulam? Or is that considered to be Chol? Not totally Chol, it means it would have the Kedusha of the Har HaBayis. What would be the Nafkimina if it has Kedusha of the Har HaBayis, or it has Kedusha of the Azorah, the Beis HaMikdash itself? Very simply, for those people that are Tameh. As we know, a Tameh Mes is not allowed to go into the Azorah. However, if one of these Lishochis happens to be Chol, so then the Tameh Mes would be able to go in. And the same thing applies to a Tameh Sheretz, etc. So what does it say about these Lishochis? Those that are Benuyos B'Kodesh. Benuyos B'Kodesh means that if you look at the map, you will see that the Lishka itself occupies part of the space that is what we call Azara. So it's Boni Bakodesh. It occupies space within the Azara. To the north of the Azara, to the south, to the east, to the west, and a corner somewhere. But this Lishka is built in the Azara. However, Psucha is the Chol. The entranceway and the exitway are not in the Azara, but to the outside, from the Har HaBayis. In other words, you come in. If you want to get into the Azorah from the Har HaBayis, there were a whole bunch of she'orim, a whole bunch of gates, a room and a room from all sides. So similarly, some of these Lishachis had doorways, gateways, that entered, that opened up into the Har HaBayis but did not open up into the Lishka. So if you wanted to get into the Lishka, you had to go out of the Azara, into the Har HaBayis, onto the Har HaBayis, and from there into the Lishka to be able to do whatever you needed to do. So what's the halacha about the inside, the inner ear of that Lishka? Now, as we're going to see in another moment, the Gemara is going to bring other examples as well, that what dictated whether the inside of the Lishka was Kodesh or Chol, it was totally dictated not by its location, but the entranceway. If the entranceway came from the Har HaBayis, then it was Chol. If the entranceway was from the Azara, then Toichan was Kodesh. So these Lishachas, since they were Psuach L'chol, they were opened up to the Chol, that's where the doorway was. Toichan Chol, inside that Lishka, it was Har HaBayis, even though if you were to go and look at the map, you would say, I'm within the Azara. But the Toichan Chol that had the status of Chol. The Gag is saying, and the Gag of these was Kodesh, was holy. What do you mean that it was holy? Didn't we just say now, according to Rav, that all the Gag Hoseyan of the Azara were all Chol, lo niskachu? And here it says it's Kodesh. Take him and Abchizda Bishagag Hoseyan, Shoven Lekarka Azara. It's talking about that the Gag of this Lishka was level with the ground of the Azara. Now, how is that possible? So, it's possible one out of two ways, and that is that you had a Lishka, which is, if you will, in the basement. In other words, we dug out a tunnel, we dug out a dug out, literally a dug out, underneath the Azara, and we fashioned there a Lishka. Oh, so the Gag of that Lishka is flat and level with the Karka Azara, and that's why it had Kedusha. But Rashi explains even more than that, as we'll see in the Gemara shortly, because if you think about the Beis HaMikdash wasn't just one flat level bias, but rather it kept on going up and up and up and up. As you know from the beginning of, in fact, for those of you that have an art scroll Gemara, you'll see it has a very beautiful diagram on Hey Hey Amid Beis, where they go and show you that when you're going from the Ezras Noshim to the Ezras Yisrael, to get from one place to the other, you had to go over 15 ma'alois, 15 steps going up. And connected those 15, you have the Shir HaMalos. Anyway, so those 15 Shir HaMalos that we have at the end of Tilim. Each step was one half an amma tall, so the combination of all 15 of them, 15 times a half an amma, was 7.5 ammas. 7.5 ammas is approximately 15 feet. Ah, so when you're walking up from the Ezra Noshim to the Ezra Yisrael, you're walking up the equivalent of approximately 15 feet. And these have the same thing even within the Azara itself, going from the first 11 ammas, which were called the Ezras Yisrael. Then you went to what's called the Ezras Kohanim. Even there you had another four steps, which added up to another 2.5 amois. And when you went from the Azara to the Ulam and the Heichal, you also had a bunch of steps. You had 12 steps. That was altogether 6 amois. The point of all of this is to show you that the Binyan of Beis HaMikdash, when you started off entering the Beis HaMikdash, you kept on going higher and higher and higher, not only in Kedusha, but also physically, because it kept on going like to a mountaintop, kept on going up higher. Ah, so therefore there's a possibility of digging out a Lishka into the side of the Azara, where because of the fact that the Azara keeps on getting higher and higher, so the top of that Lishka is flush together with the level of the Karka Hazar. Anyway, look at the picture and look at the Rashi's, explains it in greater detail. But it's not that difficult to understand. So therefore, the regular gagois, which were on top of a Lishka, which were not flush with the level Azara, that's where Rav said, Loinis Kacha. However, these types of gagois, where the Lishka was partially or totally submerged, and now the top of the Lishka is the roof of the Lishka is parallel and flush with the Karka Azara, then the halacha is that Gag does have Kedusha just like the Karka Azara has Kedusha. Frank Morihachi, Eim HaSeifa, Benuyois Pachoil, Upsuchois LaKoidish, Toichen Koidish, Vegagoseen Chol. So now we have the other way around. Benuyois Pachoil, meaning that where the Lishka was situated was outside the border of the Azara itself, so it was on the Harabayas. However, to get into it, the entranceway as well as the exit were from the Azara into that Lishka. Oh, okay, it's the entranceway that dictates the Kedusha inside, now Teichen Kodesh, because the entranceway was from the Azara. The Gag was saying, and the Gag on top of it was Chayil. Why was it Chayil? We're talking about the same Braisa, and the top of the beginning of the Braisa, we just finished saying the Gag was Shovel the Karka Zara, be Salkadai de Bishagag, saying Shovel the Karka Zara, having lo machilois. Ah, what's bothering the Gemara is, the Gag of this Lishka, you're telling me, was parallel to and flush with the Karka Zara. Nu oibazoi, then what was the status of the Lishka itself? It was like machilois. Mechilois in this connection means tunnels. So you had to tunnel underneath the Azara to go and create this Lishka. You just told me now that Toichen Kodesh. But Rabbi Yochanan said Mechilis did not have any Kedusha. What are you talking about? If the doorway to the Lishka was from and to the Harabayis, but not to the Azara. That's what we just said a moment ago. You always go after the entranceway. So if the entranceway to that tunnel was from the Harabayas, then Mechilas Lo Niskachu. And it makes sense, because you would expect that if they are making tunnels of this sort, to be able to build a room underneath part of the Azara, okay, so then you would tunnel from outside the Beis HaMikdash, you wouldn't be tunneling from the Azara. So, if you have a tunnel from the outside, and that's Pesuach Laharabayis, that's why the inside of it, Mechilas Lo Niskachu. Kitanya Hi, when it said previously that we were talking about the Toichen Kodesh, about this subterranean Lishka, it was Benuyas Bachol Upsuchas LaKodesh, and the Gag was Shovel LaKarka, that's Upsuchas LaAzara. It's talking about that the opening to the Mechila was to the Azara, that being the case, Toichen Kodesh. So when Rabbi Yochanan said Mechilas Lo Niskachu, it really depends on where the opening was. Apparently, most of the time, the openings were to the Harabayis, and that's why Rabbi Yochanan says Mechilas Lo Niskachu. But those occasional ones that were open to the Azara, 100%, they were Kodesh.
Why were the roots Chol? Why were the Gagos Chol? In the case before, you said that the Lishkas, when they're Pesuach to the outside, and the Gag was level with the ground of the Azara, so just like the ground of the Azara of the Heichal was Kodesh, they had the same Kedusha. You can cut them there. Why here are they the same Chol?
You're right. The reason why it's Chol is because it's built Penuyas Bachol. It's outside of the. Do you have? If you're using an art scroll Gemara, you can go and see.
I have an art scroll, but I don't see where the diagram is. I picked it up now because you're referencing it. I must have an earlier edition because it doesn't have any diagram.
Oh, I am so sorry. But not on this.
Okay.
It's on Pei Hei.
You don't bother the art scroll.
Pei Hei Amid Beis. I'll show you what we have over here. I assume you can go and see it. So.
Oh, now I see it. I'm sorry.
No problem. Well, you're forgiven. But you see, you have this large black box, right?
Yeah.
So, if you want, take a look number 10. Number 10, which is there on the top. Lishkas HaGazus. You see part of it is protruding outwards, and part of it is inside. So now that part which is protruding outwards, forgetting about the toich. The toich, of course, as you said before, as Gemara said, depends on where the entranceway is, whether from the inside or from the outside. But that part that's protruding beyond the Azara, so that's already not over the Beis HaMikdash, that's already over the Harabayas. So that Gag would certainly be Chol, that's built on Harabayas property, even though it's level and flush with the Karko Azara, but nevertheless, it is on Chol property. It's like it's on the street instead of being part of the Beis HaMikdash.
It's zoned as Chol.
All right. It's beyond the boundaries of the borders. If you notice, at the top it shows it's 187 amas wide at the top, and then if you go from top to bottom, it's 135 amas. So those are very, very precise borders of the Azara and the Heichal and the Kodesh Kadoshim, etc., etc. It's all spelled out at great length in the Mishnayos and Masechtas Midos, which we'll learn in another few years. But the point is, anything that's beyond the 135 or the 187 amos, beyond that border, it's built b'chol, and therefore it has a din of chol.
So why are the gagos saying chol, that if the entranceway is to the kodesh, and the interior of the kodesh, why is the gag chol? That's my question.
The answer is because the gag is situated on the property, the airspace of the Har HaBayis, as opposed to being part of the Azar.
When the Gog inherits the quality of the land below.
Exactly, it's not only below; it's flush with it. Just like it's flush with the Karka Azara, it's also flush with the Karka Har HaBayis. So therefore, that part which is protruding onto the Har HaBayis outside of the Azara is chol. Otherwise, you could go and build the lishka from here all the way down to Echweis, to Ramot or something, a long, long mechila, and say, well, since the beginning of it is part of the Beis Mikdash, just keep on going. No, that part which is within the boundaries and borders of the Beis Mikdash, that is Kodesh. Beyond that is already Chol. But as far as the content, the inside, that depends on the entranceway, but where the Gag, depends where it's situated. Is it situated as part of the Azara and flush with the Azara, or is it flush with the Azara but also situated on the Har HaBayis?
In those lishkos that had two entrance ways, I'm trying to remember from when we learned those Mishnayos and Midos. Those lishkos that had two entrance ways, Gemara doesn't say. Okay, never mind.
Says, I don't know if that existed. I could not tell you for sure, but our Gemara doesn't go into it. Don't you want to write Toshimach? Oh no, I skipped. Okay, Kikom Rabbi Yochanan can be a Psuchas Azar. Fine. V'hotanya. Don't we have a Braisa Rabbi Yehuda Omer Mechilos Mitachas Heichel Choil? You just got finished saying that Mechilos Tachas Heichel were Koidish. I see that I have a Braisa that says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda the Mechilos underneath the Heichel were Chol. And the answer, of course, is again, Kitanya Hishab Psuchas Lechol. It all goes after the entranceway. Toshma. We have a bright sentence of the Gag Goy Koidish. The Gag of the Beis HaMikdash was Koidish. And then it continues on, the Tizbara, Vaktani. So, okay, so already at this point, Lechol already have a Kasha on Rav. Because Rav said that all the Gagoys loy Niskadshu. And here it says that the Gag was Niskadish. It says a Gag Goy Koidish. But before we try to answer that Kasha, the Gemara continues on that the Braisa is Sosa itself, the Tizbara, Vaktani. The same Braisa continues on, Gag and Halolu, Ein Oichlin Shom Kachi Kedusha, Ein Shochtem Shom Kachim Kalim. That these Gagas that you're talking about, that Niskadshu, guess what? You cannot eat Kachi Kedusha there. But you can always eat Kachi Kedusha in the Azor. Ein Shochtem Shom Kachim Kalim, you can't shecht over there. Make up your mind, is the Gag Kodesh, is it not Kodesh? So to my brother, okay, so the point is that from this part of the Braisa, I have a raya to Rav, because Rav said the Gag is loinis kachim. And he also says, Gagim halolu, don't eat kachim kudishim, don't shech kachim kalam, loinis kachim. So instead of asking a kasha from the Reisha, I have a raya from the Sefer. But frankly, more of a kasha, Gagoy Kodesh, what do I do with the internal contradiction? Are the Gagoys Kodesh or not? What's going on in this Braisa? Omer Pchom Bar Guria, the Oysen Beis Amos. Oh, when we say that the Gag had Kedusha, it had a lesser level of Kedusha. That it was used for storage, not for clay shares, but used for storage of the clay habinyan. Those are instruments that were used for the building of the Beis HaMikdash. What instruments, what are you talking about? The Beis Amos that we're referring to are measuring sticks. Just like you'd have a yardstick, here you have an Amos stick. An Amos stick that was from one end to the other, the length of an Amos. And there were two such sticks which were stored in the top of the Gag of this Lishka. And those two sticks, where it was stored, was called Gag Kodesh. Kodesh in the sense that things that were needed for the Beis HaMikdash, these are to a certain degree hallowed and consecrated and sanctified. So that's Gag Kodesh. But it didn't rise to the level that you should be able to go and eat Kachi Kodeshim or Shech Kachim Kalim. Now, what are these two Amos? What is so special about them? Now, these Amos are Yibishushan Abir. Shushan Avira, we of course think about, especially since it's Adar and Purim is around the corner, so we think about Shushan Avira, which was out in Paras, out in Persia, where we had the Ness of Purim. Here, however, we're talking about the main entranceway as you leave the Har HaBayis and enter into the Beis HaMikdash on the eastern wall. Above the entranceway, there was a beautiful, beautiful portrait or painting of the Shushan Avira. Why did they have such a painting there on top? So there's already a machloikis and mesechtes menachos. One reason that the Gemara over there gives is so that people would express their appreciation. Because after all, the second Beis HaMikdash was built by Koresh, Melech Paras, and he gave the permission and gave a certain amount of the materials and gave the authorization. So the purpose of putting up the Shushan Avira was like a sign of gratitude to go and say, Rabbeisai, remember the people in Shushan Avira, the government that has been so good to us, that has authorized us and allowed us to go and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. That's one pshat which is given, and that's a pshat that Rashi refers to here as well. However, in Masechtas Menachos, it gives another reason, and this reason is a little bit, if you will, a little bit more negative, and that is that the Persian government didn't want Klal Yisrael, when they had their own Beis HaMikdash, to feel as if, we are independent or semi-autonomous, and guess what? We might decide to go and secede from the Union and declare ourselves our own state and our own government and our own country and blah, 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 and therefore rebel and make a revolution against the authorities in Persia. So therefore they put up this big picture as if to say, Chevra, remember, we're in charge, not you guys, and therefore be careful with whatever you do. Anyway, that's the reason why you had this picture of the Shushan Avira. But what is the Shtei Amos? Achas al keren mizrachas tzvoinis, the achas al keren mizrachas tzvoinis. These two were standing or hanging in the northeastern side, and the other one was in the southeastern side. Zuj al shal keren mizrachas tzvoinis. This amos stick, which was hanging in the northeastern side, hoisi yaseir al shal moishe chatzi etzba. It was a drop longer than the amma that we are used to in the Torah. After all, in this week's Sedra, we talk about the sizes of the Shulchan and of the Oroin and of the Mizbeach. What does it say about the Oroin? Amasayim v'cheitzi orkav, amasayim v'cheitzi rochum, the Amma v'cheitzi kaimasei. We talk about Amois. Ah, so this Amma stick was one half of an etzba longer than Moshe Rabbeinu's Amma that we talk about in Parshas Truma. An additional chatzi etzva. So therefore, Nim says that that second stick was Yisera Shal Moshe etzva, a full etzva. Why do we even have anything which is longer than your normal amos? So when they would go and contract with workers, with craftsmen, to go and build, either to build the walls of the Beis HaMikdash or the clay shares, and they're using all very, very precious labor and precious wood or gold and silver and other things that they use in the construction of the clay shares and the walls of the Beis HaMikdash. We were very concerned that, not purposely, but accidentally, that they would become lidei me'ila, meaning you go and tell them, build us 50 amos long this wall. What happens if the wall turns out to be 49.99 instead of 50 amos? What's going to happen is that we paid them for 50 amos, but they only supplied 49.99. So unintentionally, they're going to be moil in the monies of Hegdish that we use to pay for these services and for this construction. So therefore, they said, you know what? We want you to go and construct 50.1 amos. When I say 50.1, meaning 50, and another little chatzi etzba over and above the 50 amos. And you have to go, and we're going to pay you according to 50 amos, instead of 50 plus the extra etzba. And they made up, of course, a price, whatever the price was, whatever the rate was. But the point is that therefore, even though they made up for a little bit more than the 50, as long as it boiled down to 50, we were okay. We had 50 amos altogether, And therefore you don't have to worry about that it was slightly less, because they started off with a drop more that they made up, so you wouldn't have a problem of Me'ila. It reminds me when I was a bocher in Yeshiva Tervadas many years ago, the person that was in charge of the dormitory was Rabbi Talansky, Zichron Levracha, a very nice person. Anyway, there was a mikveh there in the dormitory, which was used very often by the boys, Erev Shabbos, every morning, etc. And then the yeshiva supplied the towels for the mikveh, and of course they accumulated, and they would send it to the laundry once a day, once a week, whatever, whenever they needed to. And I remember Rabbi Talansky showed me them, they bundled the towels together, that they wrote the number of towels inside the bundle. Let's assume that they were all together 107 towels. He wrote on the outside 110 and sent it to the laundry. And of course the laundromat, they charged them for 110 towels. But they only sent back 107. So he told me, you know why I do that? I said, no, after all, only 107 towels, why are you paying for 110? He said, because when I used to go and write down 107 towels, I would get back only 105, 104. They would always take off two or three towels for the laundry, and that was kind of their extra fringe benefit, that besides whatever they charged, they always stole or kept two or three towels. This way I say 110, they give me back 107. That's the number that I gave them originally, 107. And this way I know I get back all my towels, even though I have to go and pay for an extra couple of towels for laundry. So, lahavdil, if you will, the same thing over here. We want to make sure that the umnin, not that he did it intentionally, but by mistake, if they're going to do it, a drop less than the 50 amos, 25 amos, 20 amos, whatever they made up, if they're going to be paid full freight, the full rate for the full amount, and then afterwards they give a drop less, we have been over on the Ila, so therefore they made up for a drop more. That's what they made up in the contract, that we're going to make it a little bit more, and therefore if it turned out that it was a little bit less, that was fine, because that was the original intent in the first place. So Freik Dimara, okay, so for that you only need one Amma yardstick with a half an etzpa. Why do you have two Amma sticks, one with a half an etzba and the other with a full etzba? It depends what materials you're using. If you're using silver or gold, okay, to add a half an etzba is, you know, a very, very small percentage. But to go and add a full etzba, that's already, now we're talking money. And so therefore, they only did a half an etzba. But if you're talking about binyan, where you're talking about using wood or mortar and lime and things of that nature, that obviously is much, much cheaper. So therefore, you can have the margin of error be a little bit larger, and therefore they added on an etzba as opposed to just a half an etzba. And we have the same concept from time to time when the Gemara talks about whether the amma was oitzvis or the amma was Sehavis, whether it was a small clenched amma, or the amma was an open amma. The Gemara refers to it as a frowning amma or a smiling amma, because if you clench it, as if you're frowning. If you open it up, it's as if you're smiling. So you have amma sochkis and amma oitzvis, also the same type of thing, that the amma is sometimes a little bit larger, if you will. Anyway, continuing on tonight. So
aren't we worried, though, that if we don't have a standard, that things won't fit properly, this guy will do a little bit more, a little bit less, it won't be Meduyak? That's why, well, today we have the standard measures that we are very Meduyak about, so that everything will fit together.
I'm assuming in the actual binyan itself, everything was Meduyak Heitev with, it was under the aegis of, you know, 12 different yekis to make sure that everything was perfect and scrutinized to the last degree. But in terms of the contract, they made up that they're going to supply 50 amis plus a chutzi etzba, but they actually only supplied the actual 50 amis. But here I don't have to worry about that it was less than the 50 amis. If anything, it may have been a drop more, but hopefully it was the exact amount. But we don't have to worry about that in case it was a hair less, 49.999. It was never less than that, because the contract was for a drop larger. So even if they made it precise, so it was either 50 or 50.1 or 50.001 or something along those lines.
Do they have a standard amma measure?
Yes.
In general?
100%. They had the standard amma measure, but these two sticks were amma plus. Otherwise,
those were for for the contractors.
Those for the contracts. Exactly. Exactly right. So bottom line is, what was our kasha that the gagoy was kodesh and Rav said that all the gagoys were choyl? In fact, the gagoys were choyl. And that's the reason why you couldn't go and eat your kachi kudishim there, and you couldn't go and shecht your kachim talo. Only gagoy kodesh in the sense that they stored there those types of things that they needed for building the Beis HaMikdash. It's the now. We learn now in our Mishnah. Oh, we finally get to our Mishnah. Oh, so the walls of the choyma of the Azara, the thickness of the wall, is deemed to be like inside the Azara itself. And the Gemara is assuming that we're talking about on top of it. So, what is going on? Bishleim ha-chaloyim is mishkachas lo d'shavi v'kar kazar. So it could very well be that the inside of the chaloyness of the windows, of that ear space in the walls, like we had before, that was shavi v'kar kazar. In other words, when they started making the chaloyim, the window, it's a window that started from the, let's say, the Ezras Yisrael, which is down below, but from the Ezras Yisrael to go to the Ezras Kahanim, we already said it's four amos high. Why? Because there were these four amos, and it was, and not four amos, the four malos, the four steps, were taller 2.5 amos. So if you're talking about 2.5 amos, which is roughly 5 feet, so it's 5 feet high. So if you started making your window in the Ezras Yisrael, so it was nice, you had a nice window, you saw outside, ear can come in and blah, blah, blah. But as you go to the Ezras Kehanim, that the bottom of that window, or perhaps the top of that window, the entire window is now flush with the floor of the upper Azor, the Ezras Kehanim, just by the fact that it's now 5 feet higher. So that's what Imar means to say, that the window was Shavya, was parallel and flush with the Karga Azor. So that's why it had all of the Kedusha Azor. And that's why you could eat your kabbanas there. Now the choyma itself, we're talking about, for instance, the choyma sazara was 40 amas tall. 40 amas tall, that would mean 80 feet into the ear. 80 feet, that could not be flush with any other floor of anywhere else in the heichal or the ulam. Didn't go up that high. So how can you go and say that on the top of that it's ul kadosh? Didn't we just finish saying, according to Rav, that the gagas valiyah is leinus kaatshu? Everyone mishkach is lebebar shura. It's talking about a shorty wall, which was built right next to the tall walls. In other words, as you know, when you're constructing a wall, you have to be very careful that is a very strong foundation, or chas v'shalom, the wall can come tumbling down. With Humpty Dumpty or without Humpty Dumpty, but the wall can come tumbling down. To go and secure and stabilize the wall, you can have like a short retaining wall on one or both sides of the tall wall to hold it in place and to give it more stability. Except like it says in the pasuk, "Vayavel chel v'choyma." The Amr of Achav Yisemer of Chanina, "Shura ubar shura." The chel v'choyma is referring to the choyma is the big wall, and the chel is the short wall, which is placed right next to the big wall to add thickness and stability and foundation, so chas v'sholom it shouldn't fall to the ground. Ah, those short walls is what we're talking about, that they could be shovel the karka azara, and that being the case, you were able to go and eat the kachi kudishim on top, and you're able to go and shecht kabonis on top of that shorty wall, because that short wall was parallel to the Karko Azar. So when Rav was referring earlier to the Gag of Aliyas Leinus Kachu, he's talking about Thaka, the height of that wall of the Azar, the tall wall, the big wall all the way in the top, that was Leinus Kachu. But the shorty wall, that was Niskadish after all. Now, although the Gemara only deals with the walls of the Azara, but apparently the same thing would also apply to the walls and the windows of the Choyma of Yerushalayim, because remember we said that Rav was referring to both Gag and Valiyos of both the Azara and Yerushalayim, and the Choloinus and the Rosh Choyma in the Mishnah, that was referring at the very least to Choymus of Yerushalayim. So how are you going to go and tell me that the Choloinus of Yerushalayim of the Choyma were imbued with Kedusha that you can go and eat the Kachim Kalim over there? So it's got to be there that too, that the windows were flush and level with the Karak of Yerushalayim, because as we know, even Yerushalayim is on mountains. Yerushalayim Sarim Havavla, Horin Savavla. If you've ever walked in the streets of Yerushalayim, you're constantly walking up or down an incline. There are very few streets which are really flat. They're constantly going up and down. So there too, apparently the Chaloinis and the Gargoyes that we're talking about in the Mishnah were also flush with the Karak of Yerushalayim. Anyway, on to the next Mishnah. Look at the Mishnah. Shtei Chaburis. Yes, sir.
We're really limiting in the Mishnah. When we say the Chomos, what the Mishnah was talking about, the Ovi Achoma, but his name. So you couldn't. So the bottom line is, you couldn't eat on the rooftops. It was only the one out there flush with the carpet.
So it would come out according to Rav. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly right. Zok Dimar. Zok the Mishnah. Shtei chaburis shehoyu oichlin b'bayis echad. Eilu hoifchen es peneim helech v'oichlin ve'eilu hoifchen es peneim helech v'oichlin. What are we talking about over here? We're talking about that it was one Karban Pesach. That one Karban Pesach were, for instance, 50 people that were signed up menuyim on that Karban Pesach. And v'bayis echad v'yachel. You're supposed to go and eat it in one location, in one bayis. And the problem was, they went into one of the batim, and there were exactly enough 25 people could squeeze into the dining room, but not 50. So they put up another table in the living room, and there they were able to put up another 25. Is that a problem? Says our Mishnah, no. You can split the Karban Pesach into two chaburais. We don't mean two chaburais of two Karban Pesachs. One Karban Pesach was split into two chaburais, and they were eating Rabbayis Echad. So Rashi says, what that means to say is that, of course, it would be nicer and grander if everybody's looking at each other and everybody's singing the Zmiris together and saying the Hallel together. Of course, that would be very nice. But it's not a requirement. You could have that the people sitting in the dining room are all facing the dining room guests, and all the people in the living room are facing the living room guests, but the dining room people are not looking to the living room, and the living room are not looking toward the dining room. They could, but it's not necessary. You could split up one large Karban Pesach into two chaburas. So look at the Rashi just quickly. Rashi in the Mishnah, 5-6 lines into the wide lines. Shtei chaburas shayu oichlis pesach echad, the bayis echad. Eilu hoifchen penein ve'eilach, einan tzrichim lehosev eilu keneged eilu, liois nirin kachaburachas. You don't even have to attempt to somehow bridge the dining room and living room guests together. El rishon hafach penein eilu eilach ve'eilach, then they can go looking, tafilu nirin kishtei chaburis, le'ich basla. It doesn't bother us, that's fine, that's good, that's gishmak. No problem. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. So going back to the Mishnah again. He split up one Karban Pesach into two groups. Each one is looking internally towards his own group, the dining room people to the dining room, living room people to the living room people. You're even allowed to have a shtikla mechitza in between. What's a shtikla mechitza? The mecham. The mecham means a hot kettle, which the Shamus used to be mosaic, to go and dilute the wine. Remember, the wine is not like wine that we have today that is already fully diluted, but rather everybody had port wine, very, very strong, heavy-duty wine. So you had the shamus, that was the butler, he would go from person to person, table to table, and he would pour the water into the wine to go and dilute it. V'meichem be'emtza, that is allowed to be, today they would think about like such a portable bar in between. So you had a portable kettle in between the two tables, between the dining room and the living room. And when the shamas would get up, it's time now to pour the next kais, right? Before manishtana or before benching, etc. We have to pour the new kais. So the shamas gets up to go and now pour and dilute the wine. What the Mishnah now is telling us is that once the oilam has split up into two separate chaburais in the same house, that's fine, there's no problem. But now, do not go and take your portion of Korban Pesach from the dining room and join your friends in the living room. And the people in the living room, when they get a Korban Pesach, eat in the living room. Don't go and bring your plate and sit down with your friends in the dining room. In other words, once you've designated where you're going to sit, you're stuck there for the night. You're a dining room guy or you're a living room guy. You could go and sit over there and ask him kashas on the Haggadah. That's not a problem. But don't go over to go and eat something at the other table. That you're stuck. You can only eat in one place. And therefore the Shamus too, he's eating with one of the two groups. After all, the Shamus is also a Yid and he has the same din of Korban Pesach. So let's assume he's eating among the dining room people, and now he goes into the living room. Koifetz its bit, he has to keep his mouth shut, not open it for a moment. Umachzer is panav, and in fact, as long as he can, he should be with his face directed towards the dining room, even though he's standing in the living room. Of course, be careful when he's pouring into the to dilute the wine. There, he's got to look at the wine. But otherwise, his machzer is panav. Achimagiyah is a chaburasi until he returns to his own chabur in the dining room. And then he can continue eating. And if there's a kala there, Baruch Hashem, who just got married, she can go and turn her head and she can go and eat. We'll see what the chiddush about all that is on the Amud Beis. But in the meantime, what our Mishnah is saying is like Rabbi Yehuda. That Rabbi Yehuda says you start off with one Korban Pesach, it's ne'achal b'shtei chaburai, so you could split up 50-50, no problem. However, one person cannot eat b'shtei mekoymais. He's got to eat either in the living room or the dining room, but he cannot move from place to place to eat. And that's Rabbi Yehuda Masisim and Rabbi Yehuda, the sign we learned in the Braisa, alavotim ashiyoichlu oisoi behem. Oisoi is referring to the singular Korban Pesach. So why does it say you eat it al habotim, in houses? It's vayis echad yoichlu, in one house. What's batim yoichlu? Malamish ha-pesach ne'achal b'shtei chaburis, that you can go and take one Korban Pesach and split it into two groups, like into two houses, and eat it separately. I would think that one individual of the 50, he could go and shuttle in between from dining room to living room or from house to house and eat in two separate mekoymes. No. He's got to go and eat it in one house. So the entire chabura can split up into two chaburais, into two batim even. But each individual has got to stay within one group, within one bais. And therefore, the kanoma, that's why we said, Hashamash ochel kzayis betzaratana. What happens if the shamash is multitasking? Besides pouring the wine and diluting the wine, he's also in charge of the tanur, of where the spit is and where they're roasting the Korban Pesach. What happens if he accidentally or on purpose, he was hungry, he put a piece of Korban Pesach into his mouth there in the kitchen where the rotisserie was, where the spit was. Now the problem is, once he's eaten there in the kitchen, he's kind of stuck in the kitchen. So what should he do now? He can't eat anywhere else because he can only eat it in one makor. See, pikechu, if he is smart, instead of just taking one piece from the tanur, he should go and eat as much as he needs, she should be nechal ala soiva, and eat everything in the kitchen. And if the people of this chabura want to be nice to him, what they can do is burn the yoshim mitzidoi. Instead of continuing to sit in the dining room, they can all stand up and say, you know what? We heard that the Shamus, by mistake, put a little bit of Korban Pesach in his mouth and he's now stuck in the kitchen. We're going to move over to the kitchen. We're all going to eat together with him in one place. So the key is, Kuntra Yehuda, vis-a-vis the Korban Pesach, what you can do is split it into two groups, but each individual can only eat in one group. That's what the Gemara calls later, you make two chaburais, but you cannot eat in shtei mekoymais. We have the same expression here too. Nechel b'shtei chaburais, yochli hei oichel, oichel b'shtei mekoymais, tam aloyman, no, you can only eat the mokin mechel. Reb Shimon says, just the opposite, punkt verkehrt. That each individual can eat from the same, we're not talking about going to a different Korban Pesach, in the same Korban Pesach. Remember, Korban Pesach has to be nechal lemenuyot, you had to be registered. You cannot eat from another Korban Pesach where you were not registered. So you can go and eat. That's what it says, each individual can go and eat in multiple places from the same carbon Pesach. Yochel yehenechel b'shtei chaburis. I would think you can go and split up the carbon Pesach into two separate groups. No. Tamalim b'bayis echad yochel. You got to go and eat in the same group. You have to eat it together. But the same individual who is in one end of the table can go to the other end. He can eat in shtei mekoymos. And the Gemara is going to explain shortly, more in detail, some graphic examples. What's the machloek between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon? Rabbi Yehuda sabah yesh aim lemasoidus, Rabbi Shimon sabah yesh aim lemikra. It depends on how you read the words. Do you read the word based on the way it's written or the way that it is read? What do you mean? We have the pasuk here in the Yomid Aleph, the bayis echad ye ochel. Now ye ochel could have been written with two yud, right? And with a tzeira under the first yud, ye ochel. But it's not. It's written with one yud, and therefore you could read it without the nekudos as it's yoichal. Ah, and therefore, according to Yehuda, we're now addressing each individual, and we're saying, you want to eat b'bayis echad yoichal. You have to eat it in one mokon. You cannot go shuttle diplomacy from the dining room to the living room, and the living room to the dining room. You have to eat it b'bayis echad yoichal. That's called mesoiris, based on the way the word is written. Rabbi Shimon says, no, you go based on the way it's read. It's ye ochel, and therefore it's referring to the Karban Pesach. The Karban Pesach has to be eaten in one mokayim, and therefore you cannot go and make the two chaburais, like we said before. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, two chaburais, which you can only eat in one mokayim. According to Rabbi Shimon, you have two you can have each individual eating b'shtei mokayimais, but only from one chabura. And now the Gemara is going to give some examples. So Gemara, how yoishvin? What happens if you had this long, long table of 50 people? The nifas a machitza b'nei, and all of a sudden someone spread out a machitza down the middle. So you didn't have one long table; you had two tables next to each other, 25 and 25. And all of a sudden somebody puts up a machitza. Nifrasa means that they spread out a machitza between them. Oh, so dibri oyim epesa nechel b'shtei chaburais. According to Rabbi Yehuda, that you're allowed in two groups, no problem. So there's a machitza in between. We have the mechem and the shamas, the bar in between. So now you have this machitza in between. It's nachal b'shtei chaburis. That's perfectly permissible. The divrei oimer ain't a pesal nechal b'shtei chaburis. According to Rabbi Shimon, ain't oichel. No, you can't do that. You have to take this machitza away. Everybody has to be together as one. What happens the other way around? Everybody sat down, and originally there was a machitza between them, and now you lifted the machitza. According to Reb Shimon, that said you can go and eat in two separate mekoymas by now having removed the machitza. So now Rashi says it looks totally different. Until now, you in this small room, small cubicle, all of a sudden, now that you've pulled the machitza away, oh, you see so much more. And Rashi says, "You yesh kan avir chodosh." There's now new ear space, and presumably there's a new feeling as well, that people are now together, united as one, as opposed to having a machitza between them. And so now it's as if a brand new mokayim. It's no longer two smaller rooms; it's now one large room. According to Reb Shimon, that says that you can eat in two separate mekoymas, even though until now I was eating in the right small cubicle, and now I'm eating in this large room, that's fine. Oh, no, good. You can't, because until now I was in the right cubicle. Now I'm in this large room. Put the machitza back. Now, these rules that we just said now, Yosef Kana Kaposhet Le Mifshet. If Kana repeated it just like we said it, say Poshet, yeah, with the Mechitza, you took off the Mechitza, but back the Mechitza, is it Mekoymais Chaburis? He learned exactly that we just went through the Gemara, but Pashtis, no problem. Omri Ravashi, Rav Kana. So Ravashi said to Rav Kana, the Tiboyulach, Iboya. Really, this is something that is fruitful for discussion. This is not so simple. Silek machitza, vasiyas machitza, lihavik kibeis mekoymes, ukibeis chaburis dami oiloi. This is the type of thing that you would expect that the Gemara would go back and forth with a discussion. That if you remove the machitza, is this now considered to be a brand new mokoym, brand new chaburis, brand new mekoymes? Is it yeah, is it not? You took away the machitza, you added a machitza, and you make it so poshut. And says Ravashi, teku, it's not so poshut to me. that if you added a machitza, you took out a machitza, would create a new situation where it's now considered to be two chaburis or two mekoymois. It's not so simple. And therefore Rav Ashi said, not only is it not so simple, it's not clear to me that at all what the halacha would be in those situations, and therefore don't do these funny things of adding or subtracting machitzas midstream during the eating of the Seder. Hakala yifeches es paneha. At the very end of the mission says that the kala turns her face. Now, what's the reason why she's turning her face away? My time, Reb Chiya bar Abba, Reb Yechon, Neishi Boisha. There's a certain degree of busha. Busha literally means embarrassment, but really means over here modesty. After all, everybody's looking at the kala. Oh, what a pretty kala. She doesn't want to be the center of attraction, center of attention, so therefore she turns her face in the other direction. Now, L'chayru, we already said in our Mishnah that everybody can go and turn their face in the other direction, right? We start off the Mishnah that shtei chaburois, eilu hoifchen espaneim heilech vo'oichlin, eilu hoifchen espaneim vo'oichlin. Everybody can go and turn in the other direction. So what's the chiddush over here that the kala can also be hoifeches espaneim vo'oichlin? So everybody else at the table also turn their backs on. The people in the dining room are not looking towards the living room people. So she's sitting in the dining room. She's also not looking at the living room people. What's the chiddush over here? So the second toisus says, a kala hoifeches espaneim. What's the chiddush? While she was eating the fish and she was eating the soup, she in fact was looking in the other direction towards, she was in the dining room, but she looked towards the living room. And everything, oh, everybody was remarking how beautiful she is, and kala tznua, kala fine kala, kala v'chasuda. And guess what happened? She got now a little bit embarrassed or ashamed that everybody's looking at her, so now she turned her face towards the dining room people. She's no longer looking towards the living room people. So Sokadai Techamina, now that she's changed midstream, maybe that's a problem. Kamashmala, no, she can go and change her seating pattern the way she was because of the need for modesty, and that's all perfectly legitimate, and there's no problem about it. Or Rashi Toisa says the second part of the second terrace, so he says, Kasha is that chayev is lafach paneh. In other words, a proper kala should in fact not go and smile to all the people at all times. She should show a degree of modesty because, after all, that's the midah of an isha ksheira, that she has a certain degree of tzedius. Now, the Gemara tells us a story. The story is only very, as you'll see, a little bit related to what we're talking about. Otherwise, it's a fascinating story. Rav Huna, the son of Rav Nosson, is visiting in the home of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, and now they're giving him royal treatment. Omrulay, they said to him, Mashemecha, tell us, Rav Huna, what's your name? Omrulay says, my name is Rav Huna. Omrulay, they said, Nesim Marapuria, please sit down on the bed. Remembering that in the times of Chazal, people didn't sit on chairs like we do with a sat on the bed, and that's the Heseva is on the bed. Good. So they told him to sit down on the bed. He sat down. Yovele kasa, they gave him a kos to drink. Kibble bechadzim, he took it immediately. He didn't turn it down. Said, no, I'm not thirsty. It's fine. It's good. No. He took it immediately. Vishasi betrays me. And he took it with two gulps. He swallowed half and he swallowed the other half. Vlehader ape. And whilst he was drinking, he didn't go and turn his face towards everybody else. He kind of did it in privacy. Or forget. Vlehader ape. He looked towards everybody else sitting at the table, and he didn't go and divert his face in the other direction. So after he finished all of this, they had a bunch of questions. Omrulay, they said to Rav Huna, "My tamak risalach Rav Huna. We expected when we asked you what your name is, you would say my name is Huna, not say that my name is Rav Huna." They used to say that the Ger Rebbe, the Beis Yisrael, whenever he would go and make a telephone call, or somebody would call him, he would say, Yisrael Alter. His name was Yisrael Alter. Even though he was the Rebbe of thousands and thousands of Hasidim, he didn't call himself Rebbe, he didn't say Ger Rebbe. Yisrael Alter Medaber, or Yisrael Alter Ret. He referred to himself by his first name. So here too, they would have expected to go and say, it's Huna. Why did he call himself Rav Huna? Amlus, he said, Bala Shemani. That's my name. Rashi says, that's my name since I was a kid. See, look at the first wide line of Rashi. Baal Hashem Aner, at the end of the line, Mikatnusi kach koidamli, Rav Huna. When I was in Cheder, my Rebbe and the children all called me Rav Huna, Rav Huna, Rav Huna. That was my title. Why did they call him Rav Huna? Maybe he had a Zayda by the name Rav Huna, and so they would refer to the Einikl and say, he's the future Rav Huna, and they called him already Rav Huna when he was a small kid. So that's my name. When we told you to sit down on the bed, we expected you to go and say, no, I'm going to sit on the floor like a lot of people sit on the floor, but or on a bench, but not sit on the bed. That was considered to be royal treatment. Why did you sit down immediately? I mean, that's a rule. Whatever the balabas tells you, that's what you do. And that's why he sat down. You'll notice it says chutz mitzei in parentheses, and there's a shaila whether you're goitis chutz mitzei or not. My time, kasa kiblis b'chadzina. Why, when we gave you a kos, did you go and take it immediately? We expect you to go and turn it down and say, "Ah, no, I'm fine. I already drank." Amalhu misav l'kot, me misav l'godel. The one that offered the drink to me, that was a godel. That's Rav Nachman by Yitzchak. How can I go and turn you down? My time, ashtisim trezini. Why did you go and drink it with two swallows? In other words, first you drank half of it, and then you drank the swallows. I don't mean really two swallows. You're drinking a normal kos. So first you go and drink half of it. You stop for a moment. You take a break. And then you drink the other half. Why didn't you drink it all in one or drink it in three separate drinks? If you drink it all down at once, how is it gargan? That looks like you are a glutton. As if, you know, you haven't drunk in a year and you drink it all down in once. No, you take it slowly. That's the way you're supposed to do it. If you go and drink a little bit, you take a sip, you put it down, you drink again, then you look a little bit arrogant, a little bit pompous. My time of the Hajj is apach. Why didn't you go and turn your face away? Why did you show your face to everybody while you're eating and drinking? What do you say? In our Mishnah, we learned that the Kala has to go and turn it. Doesn't say everybody else has to go and turn around. The Kala out sneers. But everybody else, it appears, the minute is everybody looks at everybody else at the table, not that you divert your face and your eyes from the other people eating at the table. Before we continue on, just a short vote, we see in the parentheses, chutz mitzei. What is this chutz mitzei? So most of the Mefarshim take out these words. The Vilna Goyen says that the word mitzei should have on it two shtrechelach. Two shtrechelach means like two little lines to indicate that this is really a contraction of two words. And the two words are chutz mitzad isur. Tzadik aleph is tzad isur, Rosh Hashanah. And therefore, whatever the Baal HaBayis tells you, go and eat the fish first, eat the soup first, sit down, get up, all that type of stuff, sure, listen to what the Baal HaBayis says. But chutz mitzad isur, anything that involves chas v'shalom, the slightest shaila of an isur, oh, you don't have to make a bracha, or yes, you can go and eat milchiks and fleishiks together. In our home, the minig is, yeah, we eat the milchiks and fleishiks. No. Anything tzad isur, avada, that you don't listen to the Baal HaBayis, that you have to listen to the Torah. So once you're saying with a Rosh HaTevis, perhaps you can also say with a gematria. Because the gematria, the word say, 91, is also the gematria of the Shem Adnus, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is 65. Together with the Shem Havaya Yud Kei Vav Kei is 26. 26 together with 65 is 91. And therefore what it's telling you is, when you're talking about minhogim that involve regular mundane affairs, then about listen to the Baal HaBayis. Chutz mitzei, but if you're talking about godly manners, in other words, matters of rochnius, tzei being the two names of Abaya and the Shem Adnus together, anything have to do with rochnius, there you don't have to listen to the Baal HaBayis, because there you have to go and do the way you have your mesoira from your father, from your Rebbe, from your Rosh Hashiva, from your whatever, from your Rav. You follow that, those rules and regulations. You don't have to follow what the Baal HaBayis says, only in mundane, secular matters, but not in religious matters. Okay, continuing on. Three lines before the wide line. A similar story. It says, Yimar Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yoisi, Ikla lebei Rabbi Shimon b'Rabbi Yoisi ben Lekunya. Now, our Gemara will only tell this at the end, but in Sechtes Bob Netzia, it says that Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yoisi was quite stout. And that will become important as we finish off the story. So he came into the house of the Beit Shimon, Rabbi Yosef and the Kunya, Yavu Likasa, they gave him a kos to drink, Kimli B'chadzimni, he took it all at once, V'shas B'chadzimni, and he drank it all at once. He didn't take breaks like we had before, Barafuna, that he took a break in between, but he rather drank it all up as one. Okay. How many lately? Some of them are. Ashoy se koyse basach, asari se gargan. We just finished saying a moment ago, based on that price, that if you drink it all at one time, you look like a glutton. Omelahusi said to them, loy amri be koysech koton, v'yenach musuk, v'kreisi ruchava. He says it really depends on the circumstances, it depends on the situation. If you're talking about a large cause, and the yayin, is it your standard wine, like they had in the times of Chazal, which was, if you will, dry wine? Oh, dry wine to drink it all at one time. As well as if you happen to be a person of a normal build, yeah, that really looks like you're a glutton is appropriate for eating. There must be a similar word for if you drink everything at one time, that you look like a drunk maybe, that goes and drinks it down all at one time.
So he said,
I'm sorry?
A shikr.
A shikr. Oh, that's the perfect English word that I was looking for. He looks like a shikr. Oh, that's when you're talking about your normal cuss. Your cuss over here is relatively small. Your wine is sweet. It tastes almost like Kool-Aid or like punch. And as you can see, I happen to be a stout individual. For me, this cost that you've given me is the equivalent of a small schnapsglasel. It's a nothing. Hey, you drink it. For me, it's that if it would be a tall goblet, yeah, a 12-ounce glass, that would be something else, especially if it's filled with dry wine. We're talking about this sweet stuff, and it's a small cost. And my keres, my stomach is that much larger. So for a person of my build and this type of situation, one cost does not look like a shikr. Okay, Amar Rav Huna, b'nei chaburin nechnosa b'shloish v'yoytzen afilu b'yachad. The way Rashi learns, this is totally unrelated to Pesach. This is talking about your normal situation where you're going, for instance, to a restaurant, how you're supposed to go and conduct yourselves. Toisis and other Mepharshim say, no, it does have relationship to Karban Pesach. We will learn like Rashi, Amar Rav Huna, b'nei chaburin nechnosa b'shloish v'yoytzen afilu b'yachad. There are certain meal times where they're serving meals there in the restaurant or in this soup kitchen or whatever, three people can come in together, because a meltzar, the person, the shamus that is serving them, he doesn't want to run back and forth constantly from the kitchen and the dining room for just one individual. When three people are sitting together, then that's normal. What happens if one or two have to leave early and leave one behind? That's okay, because that's understood that not everybody's on the same schedule. So if they all come in three together, I'm going to serve all the three at once. I'm going to bring all of the three soups at one time and three hors d'oeuvres at one time and the three main meals. And then if one or two have to leave, and then we're left with one at the end to give the dessert, that's okay. But that's dafka, that third individual who's left over, he doesn't overstay the meal time. Assuming that dinner is being served between 6 and 9, all the three came in at 6, that's fine. Two of them left at 8:30. One of them stays until 9, that's fine. But don't stay until 9:15 or 9:30 or 10 o'clock. He has to leave within the normal meal time rules and regulations. Rogesh Budaila, says Rashi, means that they told the Shamus in advance, you should know we're coming in at 3, but we're going to go and divide up towards the end of the meal. One or two are going to leave, we're going to have one at the end. So the Shamus should not be surprised or shocked by the way these people are acting. He understands what the rules are for this meal. Avadi, you have to go and pay for the, not only for the food, but for the services of the meltzar, of the waiter. And the last guy, he has to go and pay more, a bigger tip than everybody else, because he stayed for the extra half an hour after everybody left. But that's not the halacha, because since they made up with the waiter in advance, this is what they're going to do. So then they can go and split up, they check whatever they agreed in advance, and it's not that the last person has to go and add any more to the others. Etc. To be continued, Amir Hashem, tomorrow. Any questions on my side?
Yeah, I would just like to clarify, going back to the tunnels. What was